Today I want to share on the topic, preach the message. The text is taken from John chapter 17 verse 26. If you have your Bible, let's turn to our text, John chapter 17 verse 26. I make known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. To look at this verse, John chapter 17, verse 26, we need to look at the whole chapter of John chapter 17. This is Jesus' farewell discourse, often called the high priestly prayer. And this prayer is the greatest prayer ever prayed on earth. And this is the greatest prayer recorded anywhere in Scripture, and where Jesus poured out his heart to his Father. And he prayed essentially for three things. First, he prayed for himself that he may be glorified in John chapter 17, 1 to 5. And then second, he prayed for the apostles that they may be protected and sanctified in John chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. And then third, he prayed for the whole church down to the centuries that they may be unified in verses 20 to 26. Himself, the disciples, and the church. And the emphasis here is on the future believers, and it is worth noting that a change is taking place as Jesus prayed. He prayed and moved from talking about them, the original band of the disciples, and he now referred to those who will believe. So let's look at our Bible and turn with me to John chapter 17, looking at verses 20 to 26. Verses 20 to 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I make you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Here you find that Jesus' prayer turns specifically to those who would come to believe in him. Let me rephrase verse 20 for you again. Jesus' prayer here is not for the disciples alone, referring to the 11 apostles. And he said, I pray also for those who believe in me. And this is a sentence that extends clear across the running centuries of time. Jesus is praying for us, every one of us who live today, for the whole church throughout the centuries, the ages, for all the millions of people who will believe in him. And today we all fall into this category of having believed in him now. How? Through someone's witness, through somebody's testimony, and through a friend, through reading a gospel tract. And for example, I received the Lord Jesus Christ by reading this gospel tract way back in 1976, and I still have this tract with me, this booklet. I found it. And at that time, the church telephone number is 21703, and now our telephone number is 21419154. And the address that time was Baptist Church, number 70, Hicks Road. Now our church is Greater Baptist, Kuala Lumpur, number 70, Changkat Bukit Bintang. I read this booklet, and I said this prayer, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I open the door of my life to receive you as my Savior and Lord. And thank you for forgiving my sin and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life and make me be the kind of person that you want me to be. And so I believe in Jesus, and I became one of the many, many millions of people who believe in Him. And you could have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at church, in the funeral service, or in your office, in the market, or in the hospital, or like my mother at home when my wife shared with her. After watching the collapse of the Twin Tower, she asked to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many ways today how people come to believe in Jesus Christ. Anywhere and everywhere and any moment and any time. And when the time comes, when the Holy Spirit touches, convicts the person's heart, there is no running away. I've been attending Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church since I was in Standard 6 and 12 years old. And it took me 1.5 years later to believe in Jesus Christ. A young boy like me then, very naughty, very mischievous, very playful. You have to ask all those church members who knew me those days. Even shed tears when I prayed the sinner's prayer. However, no matter how and when we accepted Jesus Christ, we could only do so through the disciples' message or through the disciples' word or teaching. And what is this message or word or teaching? And this is important. And so as I looked through 7 different commentaries by 7 different authors, to my surprise, none of them mentioned anything about the disciples' message. I know the theme of this chapter here is on unity. And all the 7 commentaries talk about unity, and they all assume that everyone who read these words would understand the disciples' message. Do you know what the disciple message is? The message that all who would come to believe in Jesus Christ would do so through the disciples' message, and that there is no other way that faith can be produced, that eternal life can be received, and that man can be saved. And that was the same message that was written by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. And he said, I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophet and the command given by Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your apostles. And those words were equivalent to saying that there is no other way. No other way of bringing man and woman to God except through the disciples' message, teaching, and word. So what is the message or word or teaching of the apostles about the Lord Jesus Christ that we believe? And simply put, this is the message. That Jesus is one, being with the Father, that He came down from heaven for us and for our salvation, and that He suffered death and was buried, and He rose again on the 3rd day and ascended into heaven, and He will come again in glory. That whoever believes in Him as the way, the truth, and the life will not perish but have eternal life. And this is confirmed by the Apostle Paul in the Epistles in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Paul witnessed that because Jesus became obedient unto death, God the Father exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. And that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this, my friends, is the apostles' message and faith. This is the message that we receive from them that have been passed on down through the centuries. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that He's the only way. He's the only way. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. And He's the only way to eternal life. And there is no other way. And this is the prayer of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus for all the millions of people who have come to believe through the apostles' message. And I trust that this is the message that you believe. The message that you have believed, you have received and believed. Not the message that Jesus was a good man. Not a message that Jesus healed people. Not a message that Jesus was caring. Not a message that He performed miracles. No. And this is a message that we pass on to you. down to others as well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That whoever believes in Him, here is talking about, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stand condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Father, God's one and only Son. And today, we have the disciples' message. We have got the Word, and we have the truth. And the Church of God, of Jesus Christ today, is to rest upon this witness and to rest upon this testimony. Therefore, we do not need any new messages or even modern-day apostles to tell us something new from God. I do not know about you, but each time I hear of a pastor or a prophet or someone tells me a pastor or a prophet has a new message from God for us and for Malaysia, I usually feel very uncomfortable. There is no new message. There is no new messages from God, because God has already spoken. God has already spoken through the apostles, through His disciples, and all the messages are in the book, in the Bible. Spoken in the past by the holy prophet and the command given by our Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles. And guess what? We have been commanded to preach the gospel. Matthai Fuyin, I have to memorize all the Bible verses in Mandarin this morning. I spoke in the Mandarin service. Matthai Fuyin, in Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Mark Fuyin, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, good news to all creation." Lujia Fuyin, Luke, you are witnesses of all these things. Johan Fuyin, John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Five times. How many times? Five times. The command is recorded in each of the five books of the New Testament. And no Christian is exempted from this command. Whether you are young or old, or whether you are professionals or non-professionals, whether you are intellectual or non-intellectual, if you have received the disciples' message, the word, the truth, there are no loopholes where anyone, whereby we can escape. And we have to preach the message, and we have to make him known. Our message here, our story here is not about one MDB. It's not about the 2.6 billion or the expelled politician from up north or the coming state election, no. And maybe some of you may know this story better than I do, and I'm not a politician, so it's best that I stay away from this story. It's also not about food fun and parties or Santa Claus or Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The message that we need to share, to preach, is God's message. The message of a true God who loved us and provided us salvation, whereby we need to believe in Jesus Christ to receive eternal life. The message that God loves us and He sent His Son Jesus into this world, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, which is the world's best known, most quoted, and greatest Bible verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." I do not know Chinese, but I can recite it in Chinese. 神爱世人，神就将他的独生儿子，将给他们，就借信他的，不至灭亡，反得永生. No, you want to hear it in Tamil? I'm not learning yet, okay? This verse is so popular that I even read of a man who changed his name legally to John 3:16. No, he went to the bank and at the counter, the cashier asked him, "What is your name?" And he told the cashier, my name is John 3:16. I know the cashier looked at him and said to this guy, yes, I know John 3:16 because I'm a Christian. I can even recite the Bible verse, but I need to know your name. And he said, my name is John 3:16. And this upset the cashier, and he said, please, I'm not playing with you. Please tell me your name. What is your name? Do you understand English? And the guy said, my name is John 3:16. And so he had to produce document to prove that his name was really John 3:16. Do we have anyone here by the name John 3:16? Noah, if your son or grandson coming, you can name him John 3:16. That will be a very unique name. Okay. This message, brothers and sisters, started with a perfect world. And God created the heavens and the earth, and on the sixth day of his creation, he created the first man, Adam. And everything that he created was good except this, and he said it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him. So Eve was created from the rib of Adam. And God put them in the Garden of Eden, as you all know, to care for it. And he gave them this command, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat them, you will surely die. You know, and the following tragedy that you and I know as we read the Genesis account is that Eve was tempted and by the devil and ate it, and he gave some to Adam. You know, people say it's apple, I'm sure it's durian. That's why they were easily tempted. Okay? And here began the message of disobedience, lies and sin and eternal separation from God. And so the message began. From Genesis, the first book of the Bible, to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, about God's love, about God's grace, and God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that we are like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us have turned to our own way. We sin, and we continue to sin. And as a Christian, we continue to sin, and continue to be led astray. But God reveals, his message reveals that he has not given up on any one of us. He continued to forgive us, have mercy on us. So let's look at John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. What did God do? He acted in love. For our sake, at his great personal cost, on our behalf. And that was what God did here. He gave us something for us. He gave us his one and only Son. One and only Son. Let me repeat this. And we have to ask ourselves, what could be more precious and costly? Would we be able to do that? Would you be able to do that? To give up your one and only Son. One and precious son or daughter. And I believe that none of us can do that. Perhaps maybe we have more than six children. To sacrifice one may not be too bad. But what if you have six daughters and one son? Would you sacrifice your only son? And this is the biblical definition of love. God's love. He gave his one and only son to the world. For what purpose? And that's where the verse concludes here. The goal of his love is simple. The goal of God's love is salvation. He sent his son so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life, may be saved. And that salvation is described for us in two ways. A negative way and a positive way. The negative way is not perishing, and the positive way here is experiencing eternal life. A life like no other that we have. And it's more of the life that we want because it is better. It is deeper. It is more holy. It is more abundant. And this is eternal life. And this is what is available to us, each and every one of us. And this is God's message. Jesus, the Son of God, became man, and God sent his Son into the world. He suffered for our sake. He died on the cross, the message of Good Friday, and on the third day he rose again, the message of Easter. All because of the world. All because of us. And this is the message that you and I must preach in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, brothers and sisters, have you ever wondered why God wants us to make Jesus known, to tell the message? Have you ever wondered about it? And the answer is simple. When Jesus was ascending to heaven, he left us with a clear instruction, you shall be my witnesses. Why are we left behind? Why do we need to proclaim the gospel? Why do we need to make Jesus known? Why do we need to tell the message? Because those who have not come to know Jesus Christ will be eternally condemned to hell. They are eternally lost without Jesus Christ, and they will be cast in the lake of hell when they face judgment. Not many years ago, I said this in my sermon when I was preaching in a church in Vancouver. And after the English service, while we were having tea break before I preached in their Chinese service, a Canadian man came and approached me. And he introduced himself, and he was in his most probably late 60s, maybe early 70s. And he said this to me, Pastor John, I still remember. He said to me, Pastor John, I've been a Christian for more than 30 over years, and you are the first ever pastor who stood behind the pulpit who dare ever say that whoever have not believed in Jesus Christ will be eternally condemned to hell. No, and he said this to me, I believe it with all my heart, but why is it that we don't hear it from the pulpit at all? And he then said to me, Pastor John, keep it up and preach that message. Now, brothers and sisters, we have a message to tell. So how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can these people believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them the message? The message of Jesus and His love. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The one that tell the message, the one who preach the message, the one who share the message. Who and how? Let's apply. I do not know about you, but to have a good sermon is to make a good application. And I'm sorry to say that many preachers and give you a very factual and intellectual and theological sermon, but at the end of the sermon, the application is missing. What is the lesson here? What is the lesson that God is trying to say to me? What is the lesson that God is trying to say to you? What do I need to do? And so some preacher quote Hebrews and Greeks and use bombastic words as well. I'm not against it, but at the end of the sermon, whenever I hear a sermon, I want to know, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? What God wants me to do? You know, I know I'm not an expert in Greek, and in fact, I just managed to pass my Greek. You wouldn't believe it. I scored 51 over 100. I graduated from seminary. Thank God for that. And the only Greek that I learned in the seminary is the Greek alphabet. You know, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, proton, saga. The last two is not inside. And the rest I've given back to the teachers. But if I quote Greek to you this morning, how does it help you? It doesn't. It doesn't help you a bit. Therefore, a good sermon, whether with Hebrews and Greeks and bombastic words without application, is like a car without fuel. You're useless. You're not going to change the world with head knowledge. You're not going to be a hearer of the word. You need to be a doer of the word. And Jesus Christ is our very good model, because at the end of his teaching of the parables, each time, what did he do? He usually say this. This is how it will be with anyone who do and listen to and follow. Jesus make an application. And what is the application? What is the application for you and for me? Who is going to bring the good news? Who is going to preach the gospel? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? So let's start with who. The answer is you. Look at the finger. It's pointing at you. You and all those who know Jesus Christ, who have received the disciples' message, who have received the word, who have received the truth, and God has chosen you. God has chosen you to make Him known, and you are His witnesses. Now let's look at how. And today the world has changed radically since those days, and now that anyone can be anywhere in the world in about 30 hours. You know, at the airport, we hug our families, maybe with tears flowing down, and then we update our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are on the way to Africa, and then we land in Africa. We take a selfie at the airport, and then Skype our parents once we settle down in our hotel room and on our very first night of overseas. Isn't it? The world had changed radically. Anywhere we go, and we can update and share about our vacation to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So my challenge for you this morning is that why don't we do the same and let the whole world know about God's message? Don't keep God's message to ourselves. We have nothing to hide. Share God's message through social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, Satan wants to use social media to destroy the world. We Christians should use social media to spread God's message to save the world. Satan is using modern technology to destroy the world and to lead people away from God. We Christians should use modern technology to save the world. And sadly today, many people, especially young people, know about the League of Legends, the Valorant, but they do not know who Barnabas is. They know about Dota 2, but they do not know who King David is. They know about Mobile Legends, but they do not know about who Jesus Christ is. Isn't that true? So Christian, let us flood the world with exciting Bible story, Bible quizzes, Bible game, Old Testament go, New Testament go, whatever go, about the love of Jesus Christ. You know, today, many people, including Christians, are going to social media. In the United States alone, the figure is 81% of their population has a social networking profile. Do you know how many people is 81% in the United States? About 265 million people. And the average people today spend at least 1 hour and 40 minutes on social media each day. No, isn't that frightening? And many have a Facebook account or Instagram or Twitter, even for people here in Desert Park City. How many of you do not have a Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, the majority of every one of you have at least a Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And Facebook reveals that 80% of the Malaysians who have access to the internet are on Facebook. 80%. Those of you who raise your hand, you are the abnormal one. You're actually the crazy one who is not in Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You know, and we Malaysians are one of the top users of Facebook in the world today. Not everyone, many people, especially young people, our children, we post pictures of what we are eating. Before you even pray, what do they do? Wait, take a picture of the food first. And wherever they go, they take a picture of the vacation, where we are and who we are with. And we invite people to join our birthdays or wedding parties and like our posts. So let me suggest to you that today we can share God's message to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then secondly, we can also do it through WhatsApp. How many of you do not have a WhatsApp account? Yeah, you're so young last year, don't have a... One... No, one, he's a crazy one, don't have a WhatsApp account. Hello? We went door to door to give out flyers, tracts in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and maybe 90s. We put tracts into the post box. We personally give them to our colleagues. But today, with just one press of the button, we can WhatsApp to friends and invitation to church for special meeting. We can WhatsApp to them the meaning of Good Friday and Easter and Christmas. We can WhatsApp to them Bible verses. We can WhatsApp to them our testimony of God's work and goodness in our lives. We can send out the live services to our friends. You know, I'm in a WhatsApp group with my ex, what's called Datuk Lokman group. There are most like 60 of us there. Many, I would think, 2/3 of the people there are non-Christian. I don't care whether they like it or not. Every Sunday, our live service, I send our live service to them by the press of a button. And I have today, if you look at my phone, 1,600 over friends on WhatsApp. I forward messages to them. They forward to their friend forward to their friend. And in less than 1 hour, that message can reach over 1 million people all over the world. And it's free. Brothers and sisters, it's contagious. Satan will have a hard time containing it. Yes, the world is changing. This generation is changing. It's keep on changing. Anywhere we go, we can still send out messages through WhatsApp. So let's proclaim the message to the whole world. Don't keep God's message to ourselves. The unchanging mission that God called each one of us remains the same. We can't control the use of technology, but we can use it to advance the unchanging mission to reach the world in this 21st century. And so today, and as always, the Lord's call to Isaiah remains the same to every one of us. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us to reach the world with the message of salvation? You see, Jesus is not calling for volunteers. He's calling every one of us who have believed the message, the truth, to go to preach the message. He's commanding all His people, those who have believed in the message, the truth, the teaching, to go to preach the message. Evangelism is not optional. We either answer yes or no to the command of Christ to go preach the message. So can you just imagine the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ had in each and every one of us who have believed in Him now. And such a great salvation that He had accomplished for us, and yet He left it for us to go preach to the world. And if that is the task that Christ has given to the church, the task that God has given to each and every one of us, what have we done to carry out our responsibility to make Him known? Not just to the people in Desa Park City, not just to people around Malaysia, but all the people all across the world to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's respond to His call. Let's just pray. Father, we pray that the word will speak to the hearts of your people this morning. It's not just to hear the word and see you again next week, Pastor. It's not a word that we hear that goes in one ear and goes out the other. But it is a word, the Lord, that goes in the ear, goes through the heart and through the hand and legs as we respond to go and make disciples of all nations, to preach the word, to preach the message, to preach the truth, the Lord that you have entrusted to us. And you have entrusted to our church as well to preach the message so that the whole world will come to know Jesus Christ. Whether it is through our giving our time or whether it is through giving our finances to support the work of mission, to support missionary, to support churches, to support NGOs that are operating by faith to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. Apart from you, we can't do much. And may we cry out like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Even if we do not go physically, may you send the finances that we give in faith to bless the world, to reach out to the world with the good news of salvation. Thank you once again for your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.